Good morning. It looks like we're starting the show again without Brian. It is Monday the 8th. Oh, and look who has joined us. It's our host. Making a fashionable entrance.
Who dat? See, I speak Cajun. Who dat?
What? I don't know what that is.
New Orleans?
Oh.
Who is that?
Yes. Oh, who is that?
Who dat?
Thank you.
You're not a New Orleans Saint fan either.
No, I am the Saint fan, you know?
Oh, you mean like Patrick?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Gee. Imagine how I was able to figure that one out, huh?
That's very good.
All right, well, let's see how good your streak is. Borrowed from the British is the category. You might have a shot.
No.
Better than me. Why do we say fork over?
Fork over.
Yeah, fork over.
Yeah, so fork over the cash or fork over whatever is to pass it over. And, well, obviously the fork has something to do with dining. So if you fork over a piece of food, pass it on to a person.
Are you looking for confirmation here?
No, I'm just kind of nodding. Well, you know, sometimes just self-affirmation that you're on the right track is good, but I'm getting nothing from you.
No, so. You're right.
Yeah.
And that indicates?
That I'm completely off
base, yeah.
Which is par for the course, so to speak, for me. Yes. To borrow from a golfing term.
This is agricultural, though.
Okay.
Noblemen owned most of Britain's good farmland until modern times. Peasants who wanted to rent were required to promise to pay in silver. At harvest time, think pitchfork here.
That's kind of fork. Got it.
Landlords sent collection agents for the annual rent, often before crops could be sold. A tenant without silver had to make payment in kind with his produce. Shrewd agents often allowed less than market value for grain or other staples accepted in lieu of silver. So a farmer, forced to deliver his rent with a pitchfork, cursed under his breath while making his payment. Today, substitutions for money are rarely, if ever, accepted. Also, a person is more likely to be forking over greenbacks to a creditor or to a bookie, another reason why you wouldn't have known anything about this.
Thank you.
Than to a landlord of noble birth.
Okay, so pitchforks. Yeah, I should have thought about that, but apparently I didn't have enough coffee to be going on that tangent.
Yeah. Maybe next time.
Well, there's always a next time. That's why I keep coming back, actually.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for why you say it,
I don't know. There's nothing about any witty repartee that might have developed over the years.
Not
think so, yeah.
How are you this morning?
Oh. I don't know, to be mad or neutral, the bill that was passed over the weekend.
Oh, I was afraid that you were mad with me or neutral. Okay.
No. I mean, you're wearing blue. How can I be mad today?
Which bill are you talking about?
Was it $1 trillion? The one that
the
big one.
Inflation reduction intervention.
Yeah,
bill.
That had all the.
The climate piece to it. And
had all kinds of stuff to it that was just goofy.
I
know there is a reason why the vice president should be able to vote to break a tie. But it seems like if they can't make up their mind, why should we have somebody who's not one of them make the call? Left, right, up, down, doesn't matter the political persuasion. Yeah, you have somebody who, like a non-voting, you know, like a mayor, non-voting. Or like, you know, it would be, I think, comparable to you casting the deciding vote if it's a 2-2. You know, one of your board members aren't there and it's 2-2.
Yeah.
Now you get a vote.
Oh, heaven forbid that happened.
Well, I mean, it's just as different. That's not the role that you were signed up for.
No.
And I know it's part of the way the structure
it
and everything
is.
Else, but it just... So we'll see how this one plays out.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah. So, pensive.
Ooh.
That's the word for me for today. Pensive.
Pensive.
Yes.
That's interesting because you're talking about a vice president and breaking a tie, and I no association with our previous vice president, Pence.
Oh.
Pensive.
Yeah, I got
you. See, I'm making some connections.
You're
even
making
if
it happen.
Even if I can't get the answer right.
Pushing it through the wall, it's happening. Mm-hmm. So when we look at the state of California, that robust financial state that is so well run, what's it look like this year for... You know, I guess the dust is probably pretty well settled.
Yeah.
No last minute changes. Mm. I fear that there's a lot of one-time money that people are chasing because it's seen as free money, and then they're predicating things off of one-time monies.
That's always a hard thing to do, you know, where you make long-term commitments using one-time funds.
Payroll raises, staff expansion, anything that has more than a 12-month cycle. Or whatever the funding cycle is to mirror that. So if it's a grant, three-year grant, okay, it's a three-year commitment for whatever it might happen to be. How do you avoid the temptation? And more importantly, how do you force into the districts as much as you can that attitude?
Yeah, it's a really tough thing to deal with. I think that one of the issues, one of the biggest issues that we have right now in the county.
Oh, I should have laughed at Pence, by the way. Ha ha, good job.
That's all right. I don't need that. I don't need that affirmation. I know. It wasn't even a joke. It was just an observation.
Well, it was almost a pun.
So coming back to your question, one-time monies and the risks associated with that and, you know, the county office's role in helping districts or leading districts. Oh, shepherding. Wow, you're full of these.
See, there's another English phrase, right?
Thank you.
You guys have got shepherds.
Yes. Full of figurative language this morning.
All right.
So coming back to that, you keep taking me off course here. Staffing is a huge issue right now. You know, we have these one-time funds and ongoing funds where we are to kind of build the capacity to be able to support students. And you can do that through getting stuff like increased curriculum, non-personnel matters.
Things to build efficiencies.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Technology, whatever it might be. But then there's also the people part of it where in order to build capacity that you might need to have additional staff. And where do you find that staff?
How many empty seats do you have right now? I was going to say desk, but that's still too far out. How many empty chairs do you have that if funding was there, you could fill?
Oh, well, at the county office.
Or dollars and demand. How many people?
If we had, we have many open positions, even at the county office, right? So one of the areas that we have open positions, it's interesting, is in the fiscal department, is in finance.
Well, I know, no, I won't even say it. KINS News and Information Time is 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes from the Humboldt County Office of Education. He's the one you voted for.
Well, most
Maybe
did.
That's
most
what you
did.
Oh, were there some that voted for others? Like Mickey Mouse or Pluto?
Probably.
I thought I saw 100%. I was kind of disappointed.
Well,
I mean, 99 allows you to become even a little bit better than what you are, right? A little bit of a motivator.
There are the write-ins.
Yeah, well, that's about the only place it could have happened, right?
Correct.
You just can't fill in other and leave it blank, unless you know of a Mr. or Mrs. Other. Oh, wouldn't that be funny if that was a family name for somebody that had political aspirations?
Uh-huh.
You'd have Other on the ballot twice. And then, of course, if that person was a mom, then she'd be a mother.
I think you had your Wheaties this morning, didn't you?
No, I didn't. That's
maybe that is the problem.
Yeah, there could be a sugar drain going on or something like that. With the surplus dollars or the one-time funding dollars that come through, with the shortage of personnel, why not and it seems like it's pretty commonplace, the hiring bonuses.
Yes.
Okay, $20,000 if you sign on for 5 years. Yeah. Or whatever the magic number is.
Right.
Then you are building into the future costs, but you're going to have retirement, so you will have that replacement anyway. You fill up the coffers right now with staff. Mm-hmm. And I would suspect that it's going to be pretty safe to say with Humboldt's Polytech designation, with the computer or the internet connectivity and the fiber optics, with the fish farm, with the wind, and with these fires that are all over the place, that we're going to at least hold population, if not grow population.
Definitely potential there, for sure.
Okay. And a lot of those would be of childbearing years. Has there been thought to going in that direction as a way to kind of take care of today's shortage and set yourself up for tomorrow?
Yeah, we do at the county office, and I know that many districts do that incentive for that signing bonus. We also look at how to kind of grow your own within Humboldt County as far as, you know, we have a limited pool. It's really hard to recruit from the outside.
Sure.
So how can we, at the early age, like through the high school age into the college age, promote education as a career? And I'm not talking just in as far as going through the teaching credential program. I'm talking about other careers in education. We talked about the whole business side of things, the operations side of education, and that we have a need in there. So how can we get into the high schools, into the colleges, and spread the word about, hey, these are possible careers, and even look at having some kind of incentive for, look, we'll pay your way for X number of years if you commit to being to working in our
industry. It's like what the cops
industry.
Do. 5-year contract will cover your junior college degree or your AA. Yeah. Do you need a degree?
No.
Because I would think, now maybe things have changed. But when I was going through Eureka, there was business math.
Yeah.
And there was one intro to accounting kind of thing. And it wasn't the college track, so I wasn't particularly familiar with what was offered. But that was it. 2 semester-long classes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Now it's over. Now, they did also have the on-campus bank, so that might have kind of helped augment a little bit of it. But that was it. And it wasn't the bright and shiny teacher that everybody wanted to have that was teaching it. I think it was somebody who got the short straw.
Hmm.
So it was, pretty cut and dry, and subject matter that typically is thought of as being pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
So the sexy level was way down on the scale at that time. I would think that if any of those variables had changed, that there could be some excitement about that, just in that one niche. I mean, you've got a whole bunch of other areas also, like fence construction, that could be career long. But nobody knows about it.
Exactly.
And I would suggest even the instructors themselves don't really understand the wide variety of opportunities that there are.
No. It's definitely something that we can promote further, for sure. Just that awareness. Hey, have you thought about, here's another avenue. And then the good thing is that there's so many opportunities for growth, like at Humboldt County Office of Education, for example. We have 350 employees. Very few of those employees are teachers, right? We have this whole infrastructure of support for our districts and for the programs that we run through the county that are non-teacher based, but are still within the area of education. But you can spread once you're in, then you have this opportunity to be kind of diversify the
horizontal transfers or whatever you want to call it.
Exactly. Yeah. And, just like the districts, you come in with a base level of understanding, base level, skill set, and then we onboard, right? So we train our own people so that they build their capacity, so they do have this opportunity for whether it be promotion, lateral movement, whatever it might be. So
yeah, and that avoids the turnover.
because.
Because you got people who are of the area that want to stay.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, makes a big difference.
KINS, News and Information Time. It is now 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael Davies Hughes from Humboldt County's Office of Education. Are there districts within the county that don't have recruitment challenges, or is this pretty much universal?
Yeah, I would say pretty much universal. I hear from superintendents and leaders across the county, or across the state, really having, maybe as Humboldt County, we're not suffering as much as some other counties in terms of retention, recruitment and retention, but it's a struggle, I think, for every district that we have, from the for different reasons, from the smallest to the largest.
You're going to start trolling Siskiyou County? Here's our air quality number.
Well, we try to play nice in the sandbox.
If
it's folks, a long commute.
Yeah, right. I think, you know, if people are inclined, reaching out isn't going to persuade them to come over.
No.
It's just going to say, hey, there is an opportunity if you do want to, if you ever do want to leave to come to some place like us, give me a call.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty soft.
It is. And oftentimes, and this goes across the board with many different industries, it's the word of mouth, you know. Why do you want to work in Humboldt County? Why do you want to work in schools in Humboldt County? Why do you want to work at the... Why is it great to work at the Humboldt County Office of Education? And you have to kind of promote that, you know, one person at a time.
Yeah, I spun that Greg Foster last month talking about that. And I said, Greg, look at the other side. Why don't people want to come here? That's what we need to work on.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's a litany of those reasons also. But it's recruitment is always a challenge because then once you get them, a lot of people forget about retention.
It's huge.
Well, if you can avoid turnover,
right?
You, obviously, you need less new hires, and you become the place people want to work.
Exactly.
Rather than the place that is always recruiting.
When you look at the reasons why people leave an organization, education as an example, it's not so much having to do with the fiscal aspects of it, like, oh, I found another job that paid me better. Sometimes that is, you know, it's economics and meeting the needs
Understood.
That you have.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, though, it's about was the job fulfilling? Did I feel like I was part of a team? Did I feel like I was contributing to something bigger than myself, right? So it's that engagement in your organization, and that's something I think that we can continue to work on, you know, is that retention through very careful onboarding. When you think of onboarding, we think about, okay, first 6 weeks that you come on board, this is your training, your orientation. But onboarding is something that you have to, is ongoing, right? It's something that you continuously have to look at. Brian, how are you doing? Checking in with you. What kind of support do you need? What kind of trainings can we provide you? What are some things that are getting in the way of you being able to do your job efficiently?
Or just even saying hi.
Or even,
you know, walking by the open door.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or opening the door. You know, so many offices have their doors closed. Open those doors.
Yeah, I suppose they do, you know, unless it's a personnel-related issue.
Yes. Yes.
On the downside.
Yeah. You know, as the county office, we want people to come in and go, we're here to serve you. Let's keep those doors open. Come on in.
Now, do you have somebody at that front desk?
We do.
The front corner all the time?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. I mean, that's even how
it's people Jason. Shout out to Jason.
Even how people are greeted. is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, is it an interruption of their day?
Yeah.
I mean, we've all experienced that in retail. Oh, well, let me put down my magazine and get off my phone. What? Pull out the earphones. Were you talking to me?
You know.
No, I wasn't. Just let the door, you know, swing as I go by, going heading out. I mean, there's that connectivity that people are looking for, and I think that speaks to why some of this off-site employment is becoming more and more challenging. Yeah. You need to know who your coworkers are.
From my perspective, I agree with you, but some of the younger generation want that flexibility. Like, I've looked at the job description. I can get all this work done, or I can get 60% of this work done working remotely. Can you give me that flexibility? It's a tough argument.
How about if we adjust the job 8 to 1, and then you work afternoons at home?
Yeah.
We need you in here.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things. And I suspect education is not any different than any other business. There's so many unanticipateds. The things that, you know, you may think you know what today's going to bring you, but halfway through you kind of scratch your head, you look down at the list, and okay, I haven't even started my list. Everything's been dealing with the unexpected.
Right.
Well, you need to have bodies and folks that can help you out do that stuff. You can't be sending emails and texts all the time saying, hey, I need you to pull off this and go over here.
Yeah.
So-and-so just came in and had this question. I need you to reach out.
Yeah, that flexibility to pivot when you're in person is so different, right? I mean, I can walk down the hallway and pop in and say, you know, something comes up. Oh, I just want to run this by you. If you've got somebody working remotely, you know, you pick up the phone, you get a busy signal or whatever because they're already talking to somebody else and you wonder why aren't they available? And, you know, it creates its own set of problems.
Yeah, bottlenecks start popping up all over the place. And then most times, how much longer does it take to get to the answer if you're going back and forth with emails or back and forth with text or phone call attempts rather than knocking on the door trim and say, hey, got a sec? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You blah, blah, blah. Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
And it's done.
You know, it's about building community. And we talk about that with kids, right? And how do you build community? And think about a scenario where kids are just, you know, not coming in, working remotely. And we do have with independent study, they're coming in once a week, once every couple of weeks to meet with the teachers. And that works for certain students. Right?
Not
it
many.
Can work for certain students. But I really think that for kids and adults, and we forget that adults have the same needs as kids do in terms of being able to make connections, have positive relationships with one another. And in order to do that, I firmly believe that we need to be in one another's company.
And those are the folks that did have those fundamentals 20 years ago when they were going through. Not the kids today that don't have those fundamentals. And what does that bode for 10 or 20 years out? Well, let me text you. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to 7 cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking problems and solving them with Michael Davies Hughes. Some are on air and some are in break. As you look at the upcoming school year, next time we get together.
I'm super excited about it.
You're going to be in. Okay, you're 2 weeks
super
out.
Super excited about it.
Why?
Because.
Not the routine every year. It's the same thing.
No.
What makes this year special?
Well, there are so many opportunities this year in terms of how we can support kids. You know, you talk about the budget, that yes, there are one-time funds, but they're also really an ongoing commitment to help students, to build capacity of teachers. We have, we just have a great opportunity. And of course, we're, you know, hopefully on the backside of COVID, and easing of restrictions. I just think that there's this tremendous anticipation that let's get in, let's dig in, and let's really raise the bar for kids. And I just feel, I guess that sense.
If it was 4 years ago,
yeah.
I suspect we're going to continue to hear from the CDC year after year after year after year with mandates and requirements, and that autonomy is gone for a period of time. What I, from what you've said so far this morning, the thing that I my takeaway is you're getting the office people out into the customers' environments. How cool is that?
Yeah.
And vice versa. You know, I don't know if you can pull a superintendent in from pick a school and have them shadow somebody for a day and let them experience what's going on in an area where they feel like they need to have a little bit of additional background and see, you know, let them learn and maybe better understand.
Right.
I think that that is
cross-pollination.
So cool. Yeah, because there's probably no reason for them to come in. I wonder, how many of the superintendents have even been to the county library, your library? The teacher's library.
Yeah. I don't know.
The last year or the last 6 months.
Wow, it's been such a turnover in terms of administrators in this last 12 months.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we're doing next month, we have a superintendent's forum quarterly. So that's when we all get together as a county, bringing the superintendents. This next month, we're going to have an orientation where they'll get to come and visit the departments and the county office so they understand and know who these people are that they talk to or they get a phone call. which is going
to
be also obviously mutually beneficial, right, to both the county office folks and then the district folks as well.
You mentioned turnover.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's got to be really challenging. Stability is such a goal, and there's a reason why. It's a goal, you know, so that people kind of have some comfort level, you know, that the rules aren't going to change over a summer.
Yeah.
And the culture isn't going to change over a summer. How do you avoid that? Mm. Or are there districts that are more stable than others? I mean, that would be something I would think would be a high priority, just to find out how come.
Yeah. Well, oftentimes, is it, I mentioned this earlier, is that we kind of reshuffle the deck, but it's the same deck that we have in Humboldt County. So, you know, someone retires or moves out of the area as an administrator, creates an opening, and someone else locally applies for that. And so they're hired to that position, which opens an opening there. And, you know, so we just...
On the string.
Yeah, we reshuffle. Yeah. The good news about that is that oftentimes we have very good... I wouldn't say luck, but we have good fortune with hiring within the county because we have really solid administrators.
Do teachers. They bring in the new ideas?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the balancer, right?
It
you
is.
Know, you hire inside.
Right.
You know what you got. Yeah. They know what's going on. Yeah. Momentum and inertia, you know, with fine tuning is okay.
Right.
They recognize problem areas. You bring in somebody from outside, it's new, fresh, different, and perhaps they don't. Maybe some of the ruts that have been developed over the years aren't recognized.
Yeah, but you know, I think that the administrative set that we have, even internally, they're pretty innovative folks. I mean, they're looking to change things up.
So they're getting out.
So they're
seeing
out.
Things.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big thing for me with travel and training, all that kind of stuff. That's where it comes from.
That's right.
All righty. Well,
can you tell I'm excited?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. We still need to worry about forking, though.
Oh, yes. I'll work on my pitchforks.
All right, there we go. See everybody tomorrow.